This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we build puentes to connect the POVs and POCs. It has been full speed ahead. I feel like I am holding on for dear life. Like, I've got a hold of the reins, but I'm being dragged in the dirt as the horse is riding off into the sunset.
Get you some skis.
Drugged through the dirt.
Drugged through the dirt, yeah.
But it was such a great show at the Elizabeth Ney Museum. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it really was.
It was a blast. And I loved meeting all the people, just... You know.
One little girl after the show is like, I normally come to these things and they're really boring, these art shows, but y'all were really fun and everything. And I was like, that's so cute. The whole time I was thinking, though, don't we use a lot of cuss words?
We really did.
Well, we were talking about the
female body parts.
Yes, exactly.
And we had the male body parts as well.
Oh, yeah.
I hope we didn't scar that child. Anyway.
She was fine.
But that was super exciting. So those of you that haven't listened to the previous episode of the podcast, we did a live conversation at the Elizabeth Ney Museum, which was coinciding with my exhibition of photos of women of color. And it was so much fun and a great conversation, and was also the release of Boca Madre magazine.
Yeah.
So we are in print now, and if you want to...
In living color.
And if you want to get a copy of it, we'll have the link in the notes of the show. We're really excited about it. We're proud of this project, and we can't wait to see where we go from here.
So, yeah. It was a blast to write about some of these local artists here in town.
Yeah.
Wasn't it eye-opening?
Not only was it eye-opening, but it felt as if I was on the ground floor to something really big about to burst out for all of them. Wow. You know, I felt like all of them, you know,
all of them
have this, you know, potential to just break out and be huge internationally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some of the names of the magazine are.
Yeah. So, Bethlehem Makonnen, who's been a guest on our podcast before, Deborah Roberts, who many of you may recognize as like an internationally recognized artist based here in Austin right now. We have Claudia Zapata, who's working on her PhD, and she's a curator and art historian. And we had Don Okoro, who Kim spoke with for her article.
Yes.
And Laura Gutierrez, who was interviewed by my really good friend, Mariana Ampudia, who's based in Mexico City. And it's a beautiful magazine. It was designed by our good friend, Paco Castro, who's based in Mexico City as well. And he's known as Curious Flux, his design project. So
he's such a talented designer.
Yeah.
So it was a great magazine. You should check it out. You should get a copy for sure. And then I heard, Michael, that you were thinking about having a band reunion with your old band?
Yeah, so aww. So it's not really my idea.
Okay.
At one of the openings at the Ney, I ran into one of my former bandmates, David Wyatt. So I used to be in this band called Stinky Del Negro.
Stinky Del Negro.
Yes. Yeah, Kim knew them back in the day, but I don't think you and I had met.
You've played me lots of your music. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, it was great. This band that I really got to learn Austin through, because like we just would play gigs around town, and I got to see all the different venues from the stage. So that was a really exciting opportunity.
And well, you were naked too on a couple of them, right?
No.
Didn't you guys like to perform naked?
I wore a diaper. You might as well have been naked. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
I'm excited. Yeah. So when we were discussing this at the opening, he was like, hey, so yeah, we're thinking about getting together and playing some of the old songs. Like, but of course there's going to be some that we have to take off the table. Because things are different now.
What do you mean?
So it's a very irreverent kind of band, kind of in the vein of like Ween, you know, just like very like pushing boundaries.
Tongue in cheek,
maybe being like intentionally offensive to bring light to other kind of deeper topics.
Gotcha, yes. Yeah.
And so, but in today's climate, some of that just doesn't play the same.
Doesn't translate.
It's kind of a dangerous place because... I mean, with all the tension, and I know that I personally am really fighting not having black rage. Like, I'm really feeling people being more bold about their racist comments, I've been encountering a lot more discrimination and outright just disregard for my humanity and equality, honestly.
So I mean, we all have like this deeper sensitivity to things, and like, which I think is great, because it also makes us like question the intentions behind something.
Sure. So like, give us an example. What humor. Do you mean? Like, what's something that you maybe would have sung an old lyric, so, but now you can't?
All right. So one that kind of comes to the mind was kind of making fun of the whole U.S. like faux hatred of the French, because they kind of went against us in the Gulf War.
Right.
They didn't go against us, but they didn't support, you know.
They didn't support an illegal and immoral war.
Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. So there's a song that we would do. It's called Death to the French. Now, of course, that's not us advocating for that at all. It's making fun of. It's like a satire of that mentality. But, you know, we still need to be careful nowadays how things are interpreted. I feel like just like in today's climate and just the things that we've grown as a society, like if you think the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matters, those things make us reexamine some of the things that we just kind of took for granted before.
And like, sure.
Oh, well, maybe we need to be more careful.
People aren't taking it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a good thing, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to hear what you guys end up doing with your band, and it'd be great to see you guys again play. Do you guys have anything planned as far as like shows or anything like that?
No. I mean, it's literally just like a conversation that happened at the opening, like, hey, we should get together and play some of these songs again. I don't even know if it'll turn into a live show. I probably will, though.
Well, if it does, we'll let the people know, and you guys can come check out the band Sticky Del Negro with the one and only Michael Garcia.
The news.
This week in the news, we have two stories that are going to make you scratch your head. For those who have been paying attention, the trial of Amber Geiger is well underway in Dallas, Texas this week. Amber Geiger, for those who may recall, is the white police officer who shot and killed 26-year-old Botham Jean, an innocent black man, in his own apartment, after she claims entering his apartment by mistake after a long shift. From NPR News, apparently, quote, the former officer's attorneys argue that Geiger fired in self-defense after mistaking Jean for a burglar and contends the shooting was a tragic mistake. They say Geiger returned home after a long shift but didn't realize she was on a different floor and entered the wrong apartment complex in the sprawling complex. Unquote. Apparently, Geiger took the stand and said that she intended to kill Jean because she believed that he was a threat when she fired her gun. According to Geiger, quote, I was scared he was going to kill me. I hate that I have to live with this every single day of my life, and I ask God for forgiveness, and I hate myself every single day. I never wanted to take an innocent person's life, and I'm sorry, end quote. Botham Jean would be turning 28 years old today. And in light of that, if you guys would like to contribute to the Botham Jean Foundation, you can find it at BothamJeanFoundation.org. For our next story, proving yet again that when it comes to white people, you just never really know. Prime Minister of Canada Justin Trudeau was recently outed as a former fan of black and brown face. From the Washington Post, quote, Trudeau has apologized repeatedly for the incident, a blackface performance of the Banana Boat song, Dayo, when he was in high school, more blackface in a video from a costume day at the Whitewater rafting operation, where he worked in the early 1990s, and brownface at a party with an Arabian Nights theme in 2001. He has said he might have worn makeup on other occasions, unquote. It's not clear, of course, how the revelations will affect his re-election campaign, but voting is slated to begin on October 21st, right around the corner. Of course, Trudeau joins a long and ever-growing list of politicians who were caught donning blackface in the past, including, here's the top four list, Attorney General Mark Herring from Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam from Virginia, Robbie Gatti, who is a Louisiana House of Representatives candidate, and Alabama Republican Governor Kay Ivey.
Oh, white people. I mean, going back to our first story, I mean, that's absolutely tragic. I remember we talked about that before in the podcast.
Yeah.
About Amber Guyer and just, I mean, uselessly taking the life of Botham.
There's so many problems with that story.
Yeah. I mean, it's she's literally just like doing whatever she can at this point to
not be to be seen as culpable.
Yeah. But, you know.
What do you think about her shedding white tears on the stand like that?
I mean, of course, she's going to be groveling for her, you know, life. But mm-hmm. I just think, how can she justify shooting to kill? Like she said, she intended to kill.
That's right.
And as a police officer, you should be trained to preserve. I mean, I understand that your life is at risk.
You
and
think that, your life is at risk. And it wasn't.
Okay. And that you are at the fear of for your life all the time as a police officer, I would imagine, you know, just pulling people over on the side of the road. But at the same time, you should be trained to keep a level head. That should be ongoing training that you put yourself in the situation to where you do not get razzled because you have a greater responsibility to protect and to serve your citizens as a police officer.
You couldn't say it any better than that. But then, of course, just the absurdity of the story, too. The fact that he was in his own apartment. It makes you just angry. It makes you seriously angry.
I mean, that could be any of us.
That could be anybody.
Like, we forget to lock our door, and all of a sudden, this random person walks in and shoots us. Whether or not they believe that it's their home or not, and they've made a mistake. But still, just... You know,
yeah.
Easily, you're gone.
What was y'all's take on Justin Trudeau?
What is the deal with all this blackface? I mean, what?
I know.
Was it like the end thing to do back then? I mean, what in the world?
I never knew it was so popular. It's only now we're finding out. Apparently, they loved it.
Growing up.
Well, and it's especially interesting in this case of Trudeau because. I mean, for the longest time, especially in comparison to the leader we have right now in the U.S., like he was often seen as like, oh, like, you know, people were crushing on him and like his policies and like he's so.
Well, he was seen as like the Canadian Barack Obama. They were like even buddies.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. But then like once, you know, Obama was gone and Cheeto took over, it was like this stark comparison. And now it's like, eh.
Oh.
Wow.
They actually have more in common than we thought.
than we had hoped.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it also goes to Canada kind of almost undeservedly being seen as this kind of liberal bastion. Right. This like liberal kind of saving grace. You know, we're not prejudiced up here, you know, and. Now we're finding out, of course.
It's everywhere.
It really is. It's everywhere, you know.
Nobody's perfect, but...
Nobody's perfect.
But come on.
But come on now.
Life is confusing. Sometimes you need clarification. Look no further than your fellow humans' tweets and memes and everything in between for life's sweet answers. And you no longer need to ask, what exactly do you mean?
From It's Azul _. If they don't give you complimentary chips and salsa, they're gentrified.
From at Nashville ABC. If you think the revolution doesn't include prisoners, sex workers, trans people, POC, indigenous, the poor, the illiterate, fat people, LGBTQ, neurodivergent, differently abled, etc., then GTFO. We are here to liberate all of us.
At Jenna Cherry _10. There's 7 billion people in this world, and you think I'm going to let one customer with a bad attitude ruin my day? Damn right I am. I'll probably even go cry in the freezer, too.
From Unknown, I believe a lot of conflict in the Wild West could have been avoided if cowboy architects had just made their towns big enough for everyone.
From At Known, be kind and full of love, but have boundaries like a motherfucker.
By Josh Goodman. New York should rename Fifth Avenue Barack Obama Avenue so that Trump Tower will have to use that as its address forever.
From Ideal Piper. If you think I'm flirting with you, I'm just being friendly. If you think I'm weird, then I'm probably flirting with you.
From Micah Kahn. We're not accepting verbal apologies this year, only changed behavior.
By Marianne Williamson. USA is the only country that bases its educational funding on property taxes, ensuring poor children will get a poor education, thus perpetuating poverty. It's a way a veiled aristocratic system keeps power to itself. It won't change until we change it.
From at MV Sebastian, I wish boys and young men of color got the same kind of grace and calls for gentleness that I'm hearing people call for with these white kids that are displaying some of the most vile behavior imaginable. Quote unquote, they're just kids. So was Trayvon and Tamir and Mike Brown.
From Abstruse, GOP, we want traditional 1950s American values. Me. So new social programs, infrastructure funding, cheap college, no for-profit healthcare, GOP. What? No. Me. Oh, so strong banking regulations, 91% tax rate over $2 million a year, GOP. God, no. We just want to be openly racist again.
Those are all the tweets and memes and everything in between we have for this week. So if you have any that you would like to share with us and we can share with our audience, just let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Are you black? Are you Latinx? Are you a man or a woman?
Guess what? It's Nunya.
This is the segment where we take online quizzes to have answers to clueless people nagging us with, no, but really, what are you?
Apparently, strippers are hot again in the movies. If you haven't seen yet, Jennifer Lopez is getting a lot of buzz for her latest movie, Hustlers, where she plays a stripper who leads a band of strip club employees who band together to turn the tables on their Wall Street clients. Apparently, she trained for months learning to pole dance, and there's supposed to be this amazing pole dance number set to Fiona Apple's Criminal. So, in celebration of the movie, BuzzFeed came up with a quiz to determine what your stripper song should be.
Okay.
But before we take the quiz, what do you guys think your stripper song should be?
Oh, gosh.
Can I tell you one that I dance to a lot?
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Ooh,
I can see you doing that.
I also did, and I got paid by the stripper girls when I did this. Not so much the boys, but Atomic Dog. Yow, 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 yippee-yay, yeah. Yow. Atomic Dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That'd be hot. What about you, Michael?
Oh, my gosh. Stripper I don't even songs? Know. I don't think of myself.
You would never stripper. Do a striptease on a pole for anybody?
I would, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think, I don't know. Actually, we should say, what do we think each other's songs would be?
I think yours would be Human Behavior.
Bjork. Human Behavior by Bjork. I can see right. that.
Oh, gosh,
it's kind of a weird song, though.
It would.
It just basically talks about how weird humans are.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, or perfect. Icicle.
What's that song?
A Tori Amos song? Is this?
Maybe not. Cornflake Girl. That's kind of a like.
All right. She wants me to do a Tori Amos song for a
okay
maybe dancer. Not.
I don't think a Tori. Yeah. No. Maybe we should take this quiz to see what, okay, yeah, what yeah, they yeah, suggest.
Okay. All right.
So if you guys want to take the quiz with us, we have left the link in the show notes. Go ahead and click on it right now.
All
open
right.
it up. And we're going to take this quiz from BuzzFeed.
All right.
And we're going to find out what our stripper song should be. So here we go with question number one. It says, read it with us. Your friends would describe your energy as charismatic, chaotic, sensual, romantic, confident, cunning. Which of those six?
Ooh. I think charismatic for me.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I'd
yeah,
say confident for me. They would say confident.
Okay. I think I'd be chaotic.
Okay. All right. Number two.
If you were a stripper, you'd be best at pole dancing, lap dancing, stripping, twerking, all of it. Bitch, I'm a stripper.
Bitch, I am a stripper yeah. would be me.
I would be good at probably, I would say lap dancing probably.
You know?
I feel like I can't get on that pole. There's no way I would get on that pole.
You'd be surprised. A couple of drinks and some adrenaline.
I think for me it'd be pole just because it takes me back to my monkey bars days as a kid.
Yeah.
I used to love playing on the monkey bars and doing flips and all kinds of stuff. So
number three, someone stole your tips. So you confront them, brush it off because you'll make it back ASAP, report them to management, plot revenge, steal their tips, or I would never let that happen. So... So if somebody stole your tips, I would probably confront them. I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, that's exactly what I
see. I'm such a a nerd, I'd report them to management.
This person stole my dibs.
No, because those bouncers are on it.
They're on top of it.
They're on top of it. And if you have the distress in your face, they will come right
away.
They're
not having it.
Yeah. If they see you, they're right on it.
They're done. All right. Now the next one.
Pick a fierce red carpet look that speaks to you. Okay.
So we got some iconic looks here. Rihanna in the diamonds at the Met Gala. Nicki Minaj in a beautiful blue gown. Of course, Queen Bee in this kind. What color is that?
It's like a brownish red.
Brown red. We got Taylor Swift and whatever that is. Lady Gaga in that. Remember that? That's her Met Gala entrance. That was three. That pink thing that was three outfits in one. Okay. Yeah. And we got Mariah Carey being Mariah Carey. Okay. I'm going to say this Nicki Minaj color is like working for me.
I was going to go with Nicki Minaj.
She looks so good in that
picture. I'll do the Rihanna Diamond Pope look. Come on. Because, I mean, what else would I wear?
It's Rihanna.
You would wear that.
Yeah, I would.
Diamond Pope. Okay. Yeah. What's your best physical asset? Your lips, your butt, your legs, your eyes, your chest, please, my entire body snatches.
I love the word snatch.
Yeah.
I do. God, okay, yeah, I'm getting off topic.
That's okay.
But, okay. I definitely think it's mine. It's my ass.
Your ass?
Yes, my ass.
My butt. I think my lips, because I kiss really well.
Oh, well, work it, Tay.
I do. I kiss really good.
I guess my eyes.
You have beautiful eyes, Michael. You do. You do. All right. And finally?
Finally, choose a male celeb to give a seductive lap dance.
And we got Drake, Charles Melton, Idris Elba, Shawn Mendes, Donald Glover, and any of the Jonas Brothers. y'all know I love Drake. Mm-hmm, He's just so beautiful. But I'm going to go with my dark-skinned chocolate brother. Idris Elba is like, he is like the finest actor, I think, out there right now. He is just so yummy.
Wow. I think, go ahead, Michael.
Do you need a moment, Dave?
I'm sorry, I need a moment.
I mean, he is beautiful dark chocolate, and I thought about him, but I was like, you know what, brothers ain't gonna get no black woman a piece. Yeah. when they can get that at home.
That's true.
So, but I thought, but then again, I said, but you know what? Donald Glover is the man, kind of man that would appreciate a black woman's body.
Okay. I like that.
I kind of feel like he'd be like, okay, my African queen, come on with it, baby.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Kim.
Donald Glover for you.
Yeah.
All right, click.
All right.
All right. And we got our results. So, my song was Pour It Up by Rihanna. All you see is signs. All you see is dollar signs. I'll go with that. That works for me.
All right, Kimmy.
Mine says Money by Cardi B. Cold ass bitch, you give broads chills. What can you say? You were born to flex.
And mine is Center of Attention. You can't help the crowd from screaming. And that is from Britney Spears, Give Me More.
Oh, my God. I would love to see you dance on a pole
yes,
to Give Me More.
Oh, Michael, you'd kill
it,
dude.
Well, we've got some mezcal here.
Michael can dance his ass off. I love dancing with Michael.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, give us more, y'all. If you want to share your results with us, let us know through our social media or email. We can't wait to see what you all have done and what you're going to be dancing to.
When a racist does a good thing, does it forgive his racist past? That's the question we'll be asking this week in Opinions Are Like Assholes. So, at first, it started off as an on-television joke by 24-year-old football fan Carson King. During a showing of ESPN's Game Day, Carson King could be seen on air with a sign that read, "Bush Light Supply Needs Replenish." And then a Vimeo account people could send money to. And sure enough, because America, people began sending money. Lots of money. So much so that King was flabbergasted by it all. So he decided he'd give the money to a local children's hospital. When Anheuser-Busch and Vimeo got wind of it, like all good corporations do, they wanted to get in on the publicity act and promised to match whatever donations he received. All sounds great, right? Then, of course, when a Des Moines Register reporter, Aaron Calvin, discovered some old racist tweets from King, all hell broke loose. One of the tweets compared black mothers to gorillas, and another joked about black people who were killed in the Holocaust.
What?
I don't know. I can't explain it. King was later, of course, forced to apologize in a press conference before the paper published the profile or his profile online. This is apparently from King. Quote, "Once he pointed it out and I went back and looked at it, I was really upset with myself. Obviously, I've made mistakes in my past. Everyone has. And I really hope people see at this point in my life, I've grown, I'm caring, I'm generous. I hope that's what people focus on." King, of course, King also said in a statement on Twitter that the comments were jokes between friends, an attempt at humor that he says was offensive and hurtful. Anheuser-Busch said in a statement to CNN that they would no longer associate with King after he admitted posting the offensive tweets in 2012 when he was a 16-year-old high school student. And this is the statement that they said. They said, quote, "Carlson King had multiple social media posts that do not align with our values as a brand or as a company, and we will have no further association with him." They did promise, of course, to make the donations that they had originally pledged, just they are no longer connected with King.
Yeah.
So, discuss that amongst yourselves, children. What do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I feel like there's a fine line between holding us accountable as humans, depending on our age, when we do and say certain things.
So you say age,
and expecting people to grow.
Okay. So you say age is an issue.
I said could be.
Okay.
Could be. That's what I'm saying. It's a fine line because there's, you know, if
he was 16.
Exactly. 16. I think we have to look at where he was raised and like what kind of racial environment he was in, to like some of these white individuals who grow up in these communities where racism is the norm. It's hard to imagine them escaping that at a young age. Now, I would say that we all want people to grow and be better people, right? We all should give people an opportunity to do that. Now, if this is the extent of what he said in it, it's obviously it's awful and horrible.
Right.
Now, was he just parroting something he heard to be cool? Did he actually believe that, you know, what did he say? That black women look like gorillas?
Right. Or would not look like gorillas. He just made a comparison.
Yeah. Or talking about, I mean, bringing up the Holocaust. And
I guess it was like some kind of joke.
Right. I mean, they're reprehensible statements. Right. I didn't obviously want
to see it. Yeah. But anyway.
But if he was in the time since he was 16 able to learn and grow and try to put that behind him, and obviously was trying to do something good, should that be taken into account? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe.
What do you think, Kim? What do you think?
I agree with Michael. I just want to also evaluate the trend mm-hmm. of those comments and how long they lasted. Because, I mean, if he's 16 and then 10 years later he's still in that same place, then I feel like, is it really that you regret those comments now, or mm-hmm. is there a trend that shows that you really are
racist? And the latter is what I feel like we see a lot of, like, celebrities who get in trouble for similar things, is like all of a sudden they're apologizing and saying, oh, that's not me. But it's like, well, you just said that last week. You know, yeah. You're just trying to do this to deflect all the negative attention that's
right.
on you.
Right. Yeah. So I think that should be evaluated, you know, the genuineness. And just also, you know, their behavior in general with people. What do people say about them in general now? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Because I do believe everyone deserves a chance to change. Everyone has those human moments where those racist things come up, you know, based on, like you were saying, our upbringing. There are things that now, our life experience
bring into. I'm not condoning what he said, even if it was in those circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely because, like, not. Wrong is wrong.
And of course, and there's different levels. Like, okay, there's being racist and making a racist comment when you're 16. I suppose if you think of, like, Brett Kavanaugh raping or, you know, allegedly doing sexual misconduct activity with women at that similar age.
Yeah,
like, you know,
he became a Supreme Court justice.
Exactly, so. That's my point. Is like,
yeah. Well, and you know, I think the reason why this story kind of caught my attention is exactly what you guys were talking about. It's like, are we as a culture forgetting how to give people room to change,
right?
To grow into something new? Because if the answer is no, if we're not going to allow people to change and grow and learn from their mistakes, then where does that leave us?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. We literally have half of a country almost that voted for a racist, homophobic,
Cheeto,
you know, abusive, rapist, Cheeto president. And many still support. And at some point, those people are going to have to reckon with that once this is over. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But you have to give those people room to say, I was wrong, I learned from my mistakes, and then you have to be willing to accept that, I would suppose, right?
Yeah.
The other option is what?
Yeah.
Cancel. What
I mean, we are here to evolve.
The cancel
we're
going to
cancel half the country. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
I do believe, though, it takes a willing heart and the personality that is open to change. And, you know, because some people, they don't have the personality to stretch. They don't, it's too much of a risk for them.
Do we have a consensus here on El Puente Podcast that we'd have to see if Homeboy was racist yesterday or the day before he was caught?
Yeah.
To make an actual determination about whether or not we should accept his apology.
Right.
Can we say what I would like to see?
Mm-hmm. I'd like someone come forward first and say, you know, I was racist here in this time. You know, instead of it being found and them going,
There you go.
Why don't you come forward from the beginning?
There you go. Just like Justin Trudeau. Just like Justin Trudeau, too. You know, it's like, hey.
Well, no, he got caught.
It's like, that's my point.
Yeah.
That's Kim's point. Yeah. They have to get caught before they come clean.
Yeah.
We want them to come clean first.
Yeah.
And then let us assess them there. Well, okay, so there's one more detail. There's more to this story, guys.
All right, Rue. Oh, one more thing.
One more thing. One more twist. This is the craziest twist. So, after all of that controversy with King, readers of the newspaper, the Des Moines Register, uncovered past racist tweets, not from King, but from the reporter who wrote the story about King, forcing both him and the paper to respond. So, once the posts were shared widely, Calvin tweeted, quote, I have deleted previous tweets that have been inappropriate or insensitive, i.e. racist. I apologize for not holding myself to the same standards as the Register holds other. Aaron Calvin was subsequently fired from that paper after all of that. So, it wasn't just the subject of the story.
Mm-hmm.
It was the reporter of the story.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's shady not to come clean. I mean, how can you do a report and not be like,
yeah. Oh, by the way.
I have a disclaimer. So I'm about to write this.
I'm about to write this story about a racist or possible racist. And by the way, I have some possibly racist tweets in myself.
Well, what I would say if I was genuinely, sincerely sorry, I'd say, I can understand the isolation that my life experience has given me. And I was racist in the past, and I also said these things. And so this is my penance, is to go and face this.
How much more powerful would that article have been?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're onto something here, y'all.
Yeah, come on.
Can I get a clap?
Come on, clean, white people.
Seriously, y'all. Come clean, y'all. Let's all just speak our truth and be real. Yes. Everybody be real out there.
Bring out those blackface skeletons
in
your closet.
Keep it hung.
The internet isn't just for porn. It's a place where you can tell ignorant folks to step off and give them a
clap back. Clap back. Clap back.
During an online back and forth, someone named @FredSonora tried to come for all of Canada in one of their comments, and it did not end well for him. That's because Twitter user Doubles Connoisseur read him the Riot Act. This might go down as the longest clapback in El Puente history, but since in this episode we're kind of obsessed about Canada with Justin Trudeau, we want to go ahead and share this.
Fred Sonora says, "Frozen ass moose fuckers, your, quote, bacon is ham and not even that good. Curling is boring."
All right. Well, wow, that's a nice little pleasant statement to make about a whole country.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It sounds very American to say what he said.
Yeah, very much.
But where does the clapback come in?
So Doubles Connoisseur says, "Our health care is free. We don't have 50,000 student loans at age 18. Medicine is free for youth under 25. Marijuana is legal. Abortions are free. Our drinking age is 19. Your president is a racist orange Cheeto, and your police kill black people for sport. Sit this one out, love."
like I would have been fine if she just left it at that. Yeah. But she didn't. She
But she didn't. More.
Just like Britney, she's like, "Give me more."
She gave her more.
Yes. And so she sprinkles a little extra seasoning just on top of that one and says, "Oh, and the Toronto Raptors are the 2019 NBA champions. Frankly, I don't want to hear anything from Americans about Canada. Y'all be paying to give birth, calling Ubers instead of ambulances because that shit is like $400. Please, I beg, leave Canada out of your foolishness."
And she still wasn't done.
"But sure, we live in igloos and only eat maple syrup. LOL, we can afford to only eat maple syrup because our health care is free and insulin is not $900. America can do better. Americans deserve better. Oh, and your entire nation has PTSD because of mass shootings. Kinder Surprise chocolate eggs are banned in the U.S. because of choking hazards for children, but somehow guns being sold to anyone is okay? Y'all need gun control. Fast. Y'all let all those babies at Sandy Hook die without doing a damn thing. A damn thing. Citizens do not need access to assault rifles. It is easier to get a gun in the United States than to get a green card as a foreigner. Since I know it'll be brought up, let me say Canada is not perfect. Outside of Toronto, people are racist. In Quebec, you can't wear a hijab while working public jobs. Canada has yet to make up for the gross injustices and mistreatment of our indigenous people at our big, big age. Americans, you are arguably the biggest, most influential country on the planet, yet your citizens are rationing their prescription medications because they cannot afford their correct dosage and dying because of it. I just want to say, in case my message got misconstrued, I am not laughing at y'all. Americans, you are all victims. It's not your fault. I am sympathizing with you. I'm outraged for you. Where is your own outrage for your country?"
Wow. I have never experienced a clapback of that magnitude. That
wow.
You know what this made me think of?
What?
Like James Brown, and they kept coming to put the cape on her.
And he would like,
and she would throw it off and get back up.
One more thing. Frankly, I don't want to hear about.
Yes.
Getting crazy with it. Girl. Anyway, but every single thing that she said was truth. Facts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Like,
yes.
Incredible.
Okay. So Doubles Connoisseur for Prime Minister of Canada. Apparently, yes. Justin Trudeau might not win.
Yes.
So maybe you should run Honey Girl.
Exactly.
Honey Girl.
And hopefully we don't find any pictures of her in blackface.
Well, I think you will because she's black.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So it's apparent that young people will be the ones that save the world. Much like the students of Parkland High School, including Emma Gonzalez, who took up the mantle of gun control after their school suffered a mass shooting tragedy, a new crop of young people are stepping up and they're making their voices heard, this time with regards to climate and the environment. we've all been watching climate activist Greta Thunberg as she's been barnstorming across the U.S., the U.N., New York, Canada on a mission to get politicians to take action now to stop the looming climate change disaster that's unfolding in front of our eyes every day.
Single day. Yeah.
Every day. Well, 16-year-old Thunberg, who's a Swedish environmentalist, specifically climate change activist, has been taking the world by storm and taking on world leaders, like calling them out specifically with a ferocity that the adults in the room have lacked with regards to this topic from day one. She's very, very inspiring, but she's not the only voice that's out there either.
First, we have 13-year-old Autumn Peltier, an Anishinaabe girl from Waukwimkwang First Nation in Canada, and Mari Kopany, an 11-year-old from Flint, Michigan, both speaking to and fighting about water quality and rights. Artemisa Zakriava, a 19-year-old from Brazil, fighting for land preservation in the Amazon. There's also Ridhima Pandey, an 11-year-old from India, who, along with Thunberg, filed a United Nations complaint against the world's largest environmental polluters.
And I think it's just amazing that there's such a huge spectrum. Yes, Greta has been the one kind of receiving the limelight. You know, there are some people who are saying, well, why is the lighter skinned girl the one that's getting all the attention? But she's very passionate in the way she communicates. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to fault her. I think it's especially amazing that she, you know, is on the autism spectrum and still like pushing forward through.
Yeah, I'm not going to fault her at all. In fact, I actually, and I understand their criticism that, you know, it took the white girl, the girl from where she's from, Sweden, mm-hmm. the girl from Sweden to bring attention to this issue when we got an entire list of indigenous and people of color, women, boys, girls, who are bringing up this issue. In fact, the next person that we're going to talk about, of course, our SO is about. But I, my pushback on that is that climate change affects everybody.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what your skin color is. And this is one of those issues where it really does not matter what skin your color. So if white people are listening to her because she is white themselves, and but they're hearing the message.
Yes.
And she's an effective communicator, which she clearly is, mm-hmm. an effective communicator. Mm-hmm. All the better. In fact, I took a piece of audio from her addressing the UN because she is so effective, and she brought me to tears when she said this.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up. And change is coming, whether you like it or not. Thank you.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. She's been inspiring to me this week. And I don't care what skin color definitely. She has.
Exactly. I would say that even just in what she said, she admits her privilege. She says, I'm one of the lucky ones.
She absolutely
she realizes
understands
that, yes, it does affect everybody, but it's going to be poorer communities that are going to suffer the most consequences because they have no resources to move or to escape the impending disaster.
And she says, it's happening right now.
Exactly.
They're suffering right now. There are people dying. This is happening right now. Mm-hmm. So
I love that she challenges and she says, how dare you? Mm-hmm. Because it brings the reality of stealing our youth's future by squandering away our resources in just excess living.
In the name of capitalism. Yeah. Which is all the reason, all the more reason why our SOSOSO is so positive. So this week we are giving a big shout out to, I believe, a young woman from Chiapas, Mexico, Michael.
We have this amazing woman named Xochitl Guadalupe Cruz. She's an 8-year-old from Chiapas, Mexico, and she's invented an entirely solar-powered device for heating water using only recycled materials. And she won an award for nuclear science from the National Autonomous University of Mexico Institute of Nuclear Sciences. Think about that. This is an 8-year-old girl.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love the fact that she used recycled materials.
Yes.
Isn't that great? Yeah, according to CollectiveEvolution.com, Cruz's device was inspired by the desire to reduce deforestation and pollution by replacing the need to cut logs for heating water, which is the primary method used in her part of the world, Chiapas, Mexico. Cruz furthers her commitment to environmentally sound practices by utilizing recycled materials to build her device. And if you guys want to see how the device works, you can actually visit CollectiveEvolution.com's website and see how the device works and how the young woman explains its function and how she built it. It's very cool.
Brilliant. Yes. The kids are inspiring, y'all. I mean, we know this. We work in education. We deal with this population. I mean, who knows, like, one day one of the students that we're teaching could be one of these world changers, these game
Absolutely.
Changers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, can we just say, take for a moment the fact that all of these people, these examples have in common? It's that the young people are stepping up and leading because they're looking at what we're leaving behind and they're saying, this cannot stand.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the ones that are being proactive and beginning with the end in mind, like looking and evaluating, you know, and they say our young are just impulsive and just don't care anymore. And that is so not true. This is proof that there is hope out there for people who are going to be take their consequences for their living and be accountable for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they will be the future leaders. They will be, hopefully a lot of these will be elected to office and, you know, affect change in that way, if not through the means that they're doing now and being, you know, activists and advocates for the world and other people.
Activists and inventors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, like Ms. Cruz.
Yes, so.
So with her, we should raise our glasses.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have mezcal this week, guys.
Yes, we do.
Does everybody have some? Hold on, let me get mine.
Oh, yours is right here, Kim.
Oh, okay.
Guys, let me pour myself a little mezcal. Mm-hmm. Not off mic. Oh, you need some too, girl? You need some too?
This is his All only right. time.
So we're looking at Oaxaca brand mezcal.
Which we've drunken before.
Yes, it's an Espadin, and it's delicious.
And we love it.
Perfect for celebrating moments like these. So to all of these amazing young women who are changing the world, from Greta down to Xochitl, we raise our glasses to you and we say,
Eso, eso, eso!
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen, join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon, or email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Costume day at the white waiter rafting operation.
Water.
White
waiter.
Let me finish this.
USA is the only country that bases its educational funding on property taxes, ensuring poor children in Wikwimkuang.
Why don't we break this up?
Wikwimkuang.
Kim, you take these next kids.
Michael, you put that in. You can't even say these names, girl.
I had it earlier.
You better get it, girl. You better get it out. You wrote that. I gotta just throw that. Kim, here, Kim, read that. No,
she's better at pronunciation than
me. No, these are hard.
Okay, all right.
Zakriaba.